Offensive onslaught. Let's play ball. Welcome in, everybody, to Leading Off right here on Fantasy Pros. It is me, Joey B, Joe Pizzapia. That, of course, is Dinger Dan Harris. And it's you, and we're talking all things baseball this morning, as we always do. And Dan Harris, it was an offensive evening, and not in the bad way, but in the offensive circumstance in terms of how many runs were being scored in Major League Baseball. Because it was an alarming number last night. He had some 15s, some 20s, some two-point conversions, a few field goals late in the fourth quarter. There was a lot going on there. And Dan, I got to tell you also, I was riding high yesterday. Last couple days, things were really good, and I flew too close to the sun with Shohei Ohtani. It was a little too much. I got a little ahead of myself. I've been knocked back down, put in my place. But I have no regrets. It was a fun ride while it lasted.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because we recorded a Betting Pros podcast and we were talking about some team futures and some player futures. And you were so high on the Ohtani train that you were just like, so you know high. What? I think, you know, Cy Young probably is in play right now, too. And I was like, all right, pump the brakes. And again, somebody teased me on Twitter because what I said on yesterday's podcast was the one thing I was really looking forward to last night was to sit down, watch that Angels-Yankees game, watch Ohtani. And it was just an absolute disaster with the rain delay as there were across the entire MLB. But yeah, weird night. I had like huge nights with my fantasy teams, a couple of them like monstrous RBI totals. And I lost ground in the category because it was just everywhere. So nutty day.
No, it was Shohei Ohtani and myself, like Ron Burgundy riding that unicorn. It was me and him riding the unicorn and did not end well, unfortunately, but it's okay. We pick ourselves up and move on. It's been a great run. We're just high on life for quite a while now, but let's get to the ups and downs from last night. And boy, oh boy, certainly some ups there offensively. The Braves scored 20 runs. Ozzie Albies had two home runs in that game. Peterson left that game with an injury, and Albert Almora was pitching by the end of it. Birthday boy Trey Turner ties the mark with a third cycle. That's a lot. Cycles are fun. That's a good time there. The Nats topped the Rays. Now, he did leave that game, so did Juan Soto. Soto was pulled. People were afraid it was a hamstring. Turns out it was cramps. It's okay, everybody. It's just cramps. Grandal, two of the White Sox, six home runs. They put up a 13 spot, but look, all across last night, the scoreboard was lit up. So I remember a few weeks ago, we were talking about, look, offense is going to start to take hold. I didn't think it was going to take hold like this. This was a scary evening in Major League Baseball for pitching.
Yeah, I mean, it's two real things combined. It's number one, the lack of sticky stuff is probably going to just generally favor offenses, but it's like 1,000 degrees outside right now. The ball is flying out of ballparks, and that's just what we're going to kind of see right now. So again, it makes good pitching more valuable than it ever has been, because you're going to see, maybe not to this extent, but you're going to see plenty of nights like this where the ball is flying out of the ballpark. Last night, again, as you mentioned, Trey Turner is just incredible. In a roto league, you know, top seven player, maybe top five if you want to push it. Albies is interesting because, again, his numbers against righties, where he takes the majority of his plate appearances, not that great. I mean, he's still only batting 240 right now as opposed to 338 against lefties. So a little weird, but it is good to see him running a ton, up to 11 steals. And again, I think he's got 15 homers right now. So after a slow start, he's really come on as well. So yeah, I mean, if you've had slow starters, they're probably going to figure out a way to turn around right now with everybody else.
And of course, the downs. You got to start with Shohei Ohtani, bombed for 7 earned runs, 41 pitches.
Yikes.
You know what? I mean, I was excited to watch it, and it was interesting. It was fun, and this game turned out to be crazy because even though he went bad, Aroldis Chapman said, wait, I've got you right there, Shohei Ohtani. He blows another lead. Last 8 appearances for him, 5 2/3, 3 home runs, 11 earned runs, 8 walks, 6 Ks. That is not good. Aaron Nola was not good either. He struck out 11 guys, but then gave up 7 earned. It's just a weird outing. Aaron Nola has been very frustrating this year. This last month of Aaron Nola, incredibly so, because he has a start like this. I mean, I don't even know what to make of a start like this. We have 7 earned runs and 11 strikeouts. It hurts my brain. So certainly some weird things there. We also have Joe's tough guys, because Josh Donaldson and the Lucas Giolito feud continues.
Yeah.
I don't know if you caught Josh Donaldson's comments, but basically, you know, first of all, he was completely trolling him. So don't pretend like he worries. He's like, I was saying that to my guys in the dugout. But right. Yeah, you're saying it to the guys in the dugout as you're coming around the base pass. You know the pitcher's going to hear it. So shut up, Josh Donaldson, about that. But I do like the tough guy persona of calling him out on his spin rate being reduced and basically telling you, hey, if you don't like it, you can come meet me in the parking lot and say it to my face. There we go. That's baseball the way it ought to be. I like that. What do you make of this, the hitters sort of, I don't know, starting to feel strong again after the spider attack is gone? Because my goodness, last night was an eye opener in terms of offense.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least with Donaldson, the Twins need a little spark. I think they need a little anger. They got their butts whipped yesterday anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, look, I mean, the this would be the sequel to the, you know, hitter strike back or whatever we're going to call it in the 2021 baseball season, because you are going to see a lot of this. And everybody knows, like, it's silly to pretend it's not, oh, wow, just some, everybody knows everybody's spin rate is down 100, 200, 300 RPM. So good. Good for Donaldson, frankly, to kind of come out there and be honest about it, because everybody sees what he's talking about.
Well, we talk about Nola. See the home run that he hit too, because he hit so just before he moved on to Nola, hit a home run in the first inning yesterday again, and he dropped the bat and stared at it in the batter's box for, I don't know, 7.5 minutes. Yeah. It was like, oh, you want me to really show you up? I'm going to do it right here. I like that. I like this. I like when teams don't like each other. I like rivalries. Everybody's just too busy, like, being happy with each other all the time. It's supposed to be competitive. And I'm not the biggest Donaldson guy. There's some definite issues I have with him. But you know what? If you're going to talk the talk, you better walk it, baby. And he walked it yesterday with that big home run. Go ahead. Talk about Nola.
No, with Donaldson, by the way, if his Cavs were ever going to just hold up for an entire season, I would love him as an option right now, because he's certainly, not somebody whose talent you doubt or anything like that. With Nola, I'm just not that concerned about it. I mean, he is a little bit down from the top tier of pitchers, as we've talked about all season before this stuff. This start in particular, if you watch it, there was a lot of soft contact that went on. He got really unlucky. On the year, I'm looking at his numbers. There's nothing crazy about it. It's just, you know, his bread and butter is his changeup, and just hasn't been as effective this year. But a lot of it is bad luck. I mean, he's got a 275 batting average against the pitch, an expected batting average of just 248, a 431 mm-hmm. slugging percentage against, an expected slugging percentage of just 377. That's still higher than last year. But again, he's been a little unlucky. I'm buying Nola a bit to the extent I can, and you might be able to after this. I think the strikeouts are great, especially with all the sticky stuff that's happening right now. The fact that his strikeouts are up is encouraging. So I'm largely writing this one off for Nola. I think he got unlucky, and I think he's generally been a little unlucky this year.
All right, Wednesday standouts, Ozzie Albies again, 4-for-6, 2 home runs, stolen base, 7 RBI. It's a hell of a week and a night for Ozzie Albies. Alex Reyes, 20th save of the season. That ERA is under 1. Incredible year for him. We talked about that cycle for Trey Turner. And then lots of 2 home run nights. Bryce Harper, Yasmani Grandal, Trent Grisham, Bobby Bradley, Luis Urias, who had a really good night last night, Jared Walsh. Then John Gray, 5 Ks against the Pirates. Chris Bassitt, another win. I think this is his 9th straight, I believe I saw that this morning. 7 shutout innings, 7 Ks against the Rangers. Joey Gallo's hot. 6 home runs in his last 4 games, and Max Fried didn't have to do much, but he lasted 5 innings, 7 Ks against the Mets. So, look, with the Mets rotation too, just kind of mentioning real quick, with Peterson leaving that start with an injury, and, you know, you had guys like Taylor McGill coming in there and pitching, they need to figure things out here. The All-Star break can't come soon enough, I feel like, for the Mets rotation, where they just need to get healthy a little bit. And where is Carlos Carrasco? I feel like it's like Carmen Sandiego. I can't find him anywhere. What's going on with Carlos Carrasco? Are we going to see him at all? Because this went from, oh yeah, we'll see him in the beginning of May, to now it's July 1st. It's a new month, and we still have not even heard about Carlos Carrasco coming close to pitching again.
Yeah, I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, I think relying on Carlos Carrasco to give you anything at this point is silly. To the extent he comes back, it's probably going to be late August at this point, and given how many setbacks he's had, doesn't really sound even optimistic that it will be then. So if you're the Mets, you're kind of just like, let's survive. Maybe we get into the playoffs. And if so, then we'll have another pitcher. But my guess is that the Mets rotation is going to look a little different after the All-Star break, you know, as we head into late July, because they're going to have to make some additions. Because, yeah, they keep getting bit by the injury bug and everything there. But, yeah, you know, they'll figure out a way to survive. But in terms of Carrasco, I mean, whatever. You can stash him if you want, but do not expect anything from him this year.
Ohtani, who had two previous very good starts, got destroyed there against the Yankees. 7 earned runs for him, 4 walks, just gross. So that ERA is at 3.60 now, and the whip is at 1.27. It was like 2.5 yesterday coming into that game.
Yeah.
We were talking about it on the BP show. The whip was under 1, I think, or somewhere around there. Oh, geez, what a terrible night. Cubs blow a 7-run lead. The Mets allowed 20 runs. Aaron Ashby, welcome to the big league, son. 7 runs there for him in 2/3 of an inning. Domingo Herman gave up 3 runs against the Angels. I don't know. Again, the Yankees pitching is another one. Luis Garcia, not a good night for him against the Orioles. He had pitched very well, so this was a clunker from him. But I think the real story is Chapman here. We got to talk about Chapman. Are we going to see Loaiza go? Are we going to see something else? Because this was a game that I know, like, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but the Yankees really kind of needed the W here and it got away from them. This is a bad sign here. You can't close out the wins you have and the leads you have, and they haven't had a whole lot of them. This is a bad situation. What are the Yankees going to do here? Are they going to make a move?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure they'll do something to try to compete. I don't really think that they're going to get away from Chapman unless it's going to be an IL stint. I mean, the big thing with Chapman, right, is Chapman never has pristine control. That's not necessarily what he's about. He just blows you away with his velocity and he's got the great slider. But now you're looking at it. Look, he had 3 walks in 8 innings in April. He had 6 walks in 12 innings in May. That's a little bit too much, but that's fine. He can live with that. He's got 10 walks in 8 2/3 in June. You cannot get away with that. And you just saw that's what he was doing. Walking, 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 then gives up the grand slam to Walsh, a lefty. This is really troubling. An 11.42 ERA in June. Now, look, he has had stretches like this where he has struggled briefly and he comes out of it. So hopefully he's fine. But, you know, you do wonder, again, I hate to run to the sticky stuff every single time, but maybe he's having difficulty gripping the ball and that's affecting his control. But I mean, what do you do, Joe? You have an investment like that in a pitcher like Chapman. I just don't think you can really, I don't think you go to Jonathan Loaiza again or like, here, you're our new closer, right? I mean,
well,
I think
you
ride
do it
with
for
that.
A week and just mentally take the pressure off Chapman and just say, look, you know, take a week off of this role and we'll get you right. And, you know, just step away a little bit. The trouble is that the time is not the luxury the Yankees have right now in this division and in this scenario where we are in this juncture in the season. And Aaron Boone, you know, you can't listen to these guys. I mean, Aaron Boone's out there last night talking about, well, I'd rather have Aroldis Chapman than even Mariano Rivera out there. Shut up. That's the dumbest thing anyone's ever said in my entire life of baseball. Okay, you always rather have Mariano Rivera than anybody else closing out a game, period, end of story. Don't even talk to me about it. And I understand he's just trying to boost the guy's confidence, right? But you don't have time. The hourglass has been tipped over and the sand is running dry. And if you are the New York Yankees right now, these are games you just can't afford to lose. I would pull him from the role temporarily. I would. And look, I know the Britton injuries hurt the bullpen too. I get that.
Who are you putting in there? Are you putting Loaiza in there?
You know what? Loaiza's pitched well this year. I mean, let him have a run. Again, I'm not replacing Chapman. I'm giving Chapman a breather to get his head right. And you know what? If indeed what we saw last night was indicative of just how pervasive this spider tack pitching sticky stuff situation is in Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball has a whole other problem on their hands. I don't think we're going to see I think this is one of those crazy anomaly nights, but it does beg the question a little bit, Dan, with offense starting to rise in the summer and all these other things we're seeing here. This was an offensive onslaught last night that I think everybody has to stand up and go, whoa, what just happened here? And are any pitchers for real anymore? I think that's the question. I mean, Jacob DeGrom, we think is, right? We think so. But then again, I mean, they just haven't caught him yet. I don't know. By the way, this is a miserable day for Dan and myself because July 1st always means the same thing, which is it's Bobby Bonilla Day, where Bobby Bonilla gets a check for $1 million. And this is never going to end. This is going to go on for the rest of our lives. I don't even know how many years left we have of this. But this is the most absurd
2032?
Thing.
Is that when it goes through?
Can
someone, like that?
Can you tell me, you're a smart man. You're a man of science and law and things of that nature. Tell me, why can't they just work some sort of buyout with this guy and just be done with this already? It's just such bad PR.
I mean, at the very least, I think Steve Cohen is leaning into it a little bit and having fun with it because it's funny. It's something that's funny. Like, who cares? Like, I almost think it would be worse if you bought him out and the damage is done. Like, regardless, who cares? Every day, everybody jokes about it. It's something that's fun. You get to explain what the time value of money means to, you know, your little kids and everything like that. So whatever, man, keep it going. You know what? Extend it. Basically be like, you know what? We're going to make it $700,000 a year, but we're going to extend it another 15 years just to make it worthwhile. Do that. Have fun with it. Lean in.
Is it really 2032?
I'm making that. I don't know. Somebody look it up and comment in that. 2035, Brad Cowan says.
Oh, no, no, that can't be.
And Mayer says 2035 as well. So there you go.
2035?
It's fine.
I mean,
we'll be 93. It'll be great.
I want to announce officially that Bobby Bonilla's old agent is now my new agent, and I'll be renegotiating with Fantasy Pros sometime after the show today. That's just, it's absurd. It's just crazy. Yeah. All right, let's get to the injuries. Juan Soto exits with a hamstring cramp, so let's just take a sigh of relief. Hope that everything's going to be okay. We'll see if he's in the lineup this weekend as we go forward here. David Peterson, we talked about, left with a side pain. I have a side pain every time David Peterson takes the mound, so we need to get him out of there sooner than later. Bobby Dalbec sat out with hamstring tightness. Patrick Wisdom exited yesterday after a collision. Yaquiti officially placed on the IL. Not shocking there. Blake Snell placed on the IL with his illness. Now, Dan, what do you make of this one?
It sounds like it's not COVID related, right? But they also didn't specify what illness that he was placed on. So
they don't have to remember the players.
Correct. No, no, no. I know, but I don't
automatically
even know.
Makes us believe that it is.
Well, right. That's what I'm assuming. Because again, they didn't even say which IL he was placed on. So my guess is it's somehow related. I think he is vaccinated. I don't know. He didn't feel well. It's fine. I'm not concerned. I mean, I'm concerned about Blake Snell for many reasons, but in this one, I expect him to be back sooner rather than later. So I have no idea, but I'm going to assume, even though they say it's not, that it's something related to COVID.
All right. Michael Franco sprained ankle. Yep. And Luis Patino called up to start Friday versus the Jays. And look, I mean, he's been very good. 15 scoreless innings in AAA. The K walk ratio has always been good for him. It's been good down there too, 23-4. I say yes. If he's still on the waiver wire, add him immediately. I assume the roster percentage is still pretty low on him.
Yeah.
But the Rays need pitching in the worst way. They've managed to get to this point in the season. They got to July 1st before really trying to make him a starter. So theoretically, there should be, you hope, 100 innings in this tank or something in there, maybe 80 or something like that, in that range that you could give him. And of course, he's going to be managed. Of course, he's going to be a 5-inning pitcher. But at this point, Dan, you just need a live body.
Yeah. I monitor this. I wouldn't exactly pick him up and throw him out there necessarily, but you're right with the Glasnow injury. I mean, they need something. So, I would monitor it for sure. Take a close look at it. I like sort of his long-term outlook for sure to see what we're going to get. But for now, I'm taking a little bit more of a wait and see approach with everybody who comes up from the minors at this point, after we've seen, you know, Jackson Coar get absolutely obliterated. We saw Ashby yesterday. So yeah, I'm monitoring this. I want to see where it would go. But in the meantime, I'm not throwing him out there to the wolves or anything like that.
All right. Well, the one thing you want to make sure of is that you don't look like a wolf. So you want to make sure you get the Lawnmower 4.0. That's right, from manscaped.com. 20% off free shipping thanks to us here at Leading Off. That's the code you use. The greatest male grooming trimmer in the history of grooming trimmers. That's right. The longest battery life ever. The 4K LED light, the skin safe technology. All of this can be yours with the code Leading Off. Once again, it's summertime. It's 110 degrees over here. You got to make sure that you take some of the hair off the body. And the best way to do that is with the Lawnmower 4.0. It's not going to give you those rashes or those weird cuts or things like that. It's going to give you nice, smooth, silk lines. And I know Dan's been training. We talk about Dan's swimmer's body quite a bit. And we know he's been training for the Olympics. He's had the trials in a few weeks. A lot going on there for him. So he has been completely manscaped. He's got the swimmer cap, too. It's a really good look for you. Some guys can't pull that off. You, my friend, absolutely nail it. Just absolutely beautiful there. Manscaped.com, Leading Off, 20% off free shipping. Your balls will thank you. Wonky Penguin makes the top of the leaderboard. 2 home runs last night from Bryce Harper. I was terrified to see what the home run board was going to be today after last night. Mr. Magoo gets 1 from Joey Gallo. Waking life as a home run call for Ty France and Hunter Renfroe back-to-back. And Jay Yeps nailed their first home run call. So welcome to the show. Jose Ramirez won there. So now we got the Wonky Penguin at 13, D. Gordon Liddy at 12. Dr. Glenn, where are you, Doc? The doctor's been for a whole week. It's tough to go cold here. 10 for Mr. Wagoo. I'm at 9 in the cluster. Dan, you are at the 7 cluster. So,
man, I'm going to drop off the board pretty soon unless I start hitting some. So
we got to get you in there. We got to get going. So let's talk about the slate today. Another smaller slate of games. The good chalk, which we haven't had lately, but we have some tonight. Corbin Burns is the good chalk here against the Pirates. I mean, Corbin Burns is just great. And that Brewers lineup, starting to show some signs of life there. Urias hitting. Willie Adames has been pretty solid since they picked him up. Credit to them. I did not think that was a good pickup at the time.
Yeah.
But Willie Adames getting out of there. It's funny. You leave Tampa, all of a sudden guys start hitting Hunter Renfro, Willie Adames. These guys have been good. He's 10.6, 9.2. Framber Valdez on FanDuel, 10.2, 9.8. Of course, you got Jacob DeGrom at 11.5 on both slates. So do you save $1,000 and go from DeGrom to Corbin Burns? And on DK, I think the answer is definitely yes, because it's almost a $2,000 difference. But what about FanDuel and the standalone? Would you still go with DeGrom on the road against the Braves who just put up 20 runs? Or would you pivot to Corbin Burns with the Pittsburgh Pirates on the shelf there?
Well, again, I do want to monitor the weather, of course, because it's potential rain in Atlanta. But assuming that everything is clear, I'm probably just going to DeGrom because I don't care that Atlanta put up 20 runs. I could have put up 75 runs. It wouldn't matter to me with DeGrom on the mound. And again, they are a big swing and miss team. So on FanDuel, again, as we talk about often, it's a lot easier to build a lineup when you have the really expensive starting pitcher and you can find lineup builders, as I'm sure you're going to talk about shortly, cheap bats that you can put in there. So I am going to go with DeGrom here. But again, Corbin Burns should have an awesome start against Pittsburgh, but I will go with DeGrom on FanDuel.
I got to tell you, there's not a, you know, some days there's a lot. I can give you half a dozen names. Today, no. I mean, I know it's a shorter slate, but even then, usually I can find 5 or 6 names that are worth it. It's like pulling teeth to get 3 today.
Yeah.
It's not a good slate, which is another reason why Corbin Burns, I think, stands out to me, and I'll take that savings. Now, if you want to go down even further, you want to play Oppo with Ian Anderson against Jacob DeGrom and say, well, the Mets never score for DeGrom. At 8.4, I can understand it. At 7.1 on DK as a secondary arm, I absolutely understand it. And that's a weird thing to do, but when you're on a short slate, 2 pitchers from the same game, it can work, especially if you have a low implied total, which you might in this game very well have. Luis Castillo, 8K for him, 9K. Are you wondering, is it safe in tournaments to start kicking the tires and maybe a little Luis Castillo share or two? 8K on FanDuel is very tempting, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, is it safe? No, never safe with Luis Castillo. But even against a lineup like San Diego's, I mean, Castillo has a sub-2 ERA over his last 5 starts. He looks a lot like the old Luis Castillo. And the old Luis Castillo, you didn't really fear matchups that much. So for a tournament play, given this price, again, you mentioned it, 8K on FanDuel especially, I am interested in there, at least, at least one tournament entry for sure, just to see where it goes.
And look, you know, when you have Colorado in play like you do tonight, St. Louis and Colorado, both those teams are very expensive to get involved with. You can kick the tires on a Castillo and an Anderson. I think it works. The other guys out there are secondary arms. You got Corbin at 8.1, who's pitched better, but I'm still not confident in.
No.
And Johnny Cueto at 7.3. Again, it's cheap enough. It's against the Diamondbacks. Cueto's been okay in his last couple starts, actually, kind of quietly so. I think you can roll with him as a secondary arm on the short slate tonight as well. Houston and Milwaukee, that's where you should be looking for your runs tonight. And again, St. Louis and Colorado. It's in terms of lineup builders, we got Lamonte Wade at the top of that San Francisco order at 2.6. Aquino at the bottom there at 2.2 for the Reds. He's cheap on DK at 3. And then Albert Pujols at 3.1 on DK and 2.2 hitting cleanup on FanDuel against the lefty Patrick Corbin. But that's it. It is not a good night in terms of looking for guys there. So I don't know. We shall see how that all works out. When it comes to calling home runs, I'm going to go with some narrative. I want Nolan Arenado and his old digs feeling cool going back to Colorado. And I want him to go yard tonight there. That's my call. That's my shot, Nolan Arenado. Where are you going for your home run pick tonight? I see the same team as me.
Yeah, for the second straight day, you took, I go through the slate.
Well, don't be jealous because I haven't hit in days.
That's what I'm saying. So it doesn't really matter because you've taken the guys, but you haven't hit them anyway. So it doesn't really matter. But again, I was like, all right, it's got to be Arenado. It's not. So I will go with the guy who Arenado is protecting in the lineup. And that is Paul Goldschmidt. Again, underperforming basically all his expected slugging stats and everything like that. Let's go deep in Colorado. Paul Goldschmidt is my call.
Paul Goldschmidt, 5 home runs, 15 RBIs in the month of June, by the way. Hitting at, I think, 280 with a 350 on base and nearly a 500 slugging. All of a sudden, everybody realized, oh, wait, Paul Goldschmidt's still hanging around. He's not elite, but he is still good. I like this call. We both need a home run desperately. I'm rooting for us because now it's us against them. Like, at a certain point, we're going to have to add up our home runs just to match Dr. Glenn and Wonky Penguin. It's
getting I can't wait. I'm going into Discord later, and I just want to see who Wonky Penguin officially picks. And so whatever it is, got to play that, whatever that it guy is, on I'm DFS. Yeah, that's how it works.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. But, you know, look, going through some of these things here, and as we turn the page to July, that means the Shohei Ohtani baseball giveaway is done. I think that's what Shohei was depressed about. He knew the giveaway was over. We were doing for the autographed baseball. And he went out there last night. And he just didn't have the heart to go on in Yankee Stadium. I think that's really the only explanation for yesterday. But that means that we're going to have a winner soon, correct? Because that contest is over. Do we have a new contest that we're loading up yet? Or do we not know what we toys are we're giving away? Oh, we do. What is it?
We do. We do. It is a signed Shane Bieber jersey. That's what it is for our new giveaway. Now, there are a couple of things. First of all, I will be randomly drawing the name of the Shohei Ohtani baseball winner today. So check your email later today. Check your spam, as always. You know that. But yes, the July giveaway is a signed Shane Bieber jersey. And we're having a new little twist on it. Okay? Are you ready? The new twist is this. You know the way to enter the contest is you leave a review for the show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox and go to fantasypros.com/MLB contest. However, there is something on that page that says, are you a YouTube subscriber to youtube.com/fantasypros MLB? If you are and you click yes and you do whatever screenshot or whatever it asks, that's going to count as 3 additional entries into the giveaway this month. So if you enter by leaving a review, which you have to do, and you are a YouTube subscriber, you basically get 4 separate entries into the contest, into winning this and all future contests. So go ahead, make sure you just click the little subscribe button, get extra entries into the contest.
I mean, that's just crazy. We're just crazy. Giving you things. Just get in there, please. And hopefully, does this mean the end of the week? Is this Friday a review reading week? Because it's the end of a month?
I will try. I will see what I can do.
I know you're a busy man. If you don't get to it today, maybe after the July 4th holiday, but it's one of my favorite things that you do. It's a great moment here. I know everybody loves listening to it. And of course, if you want to get involved in the home run calls, go to fantasypros.com/chat. I was in there doing an AMA just yesterday for my peeps over on the Discord. It's fun. It's free to get involved. Of course, there's a premium subscription if you want to upgrade yourself there too and get into more of those fun things. And we're going to do some appreciation stuff there because we love our peanuts, our Cracker Jacks, our listeners here to the program. Dan Harris, any final thoughts before we wrap things up today? And don't say no and then have a final thought. Have a final thought. I want to hear your final thoughts.
Okay. I'm really excited to watch Jacob DeGrom pitch against
the team. Let's not hope it ends up like how excited we were about
Ohtani. That's what I'm worried about. That's why I didn't want to say anything, because the last thing I was excited about was to watch Shohei Ohtani pitch in Yankee Stadium, and that was a disaster. So now I want to see Jacob DeGrom hopefully shut down a team that just popped off for 20 runs last night.
Yeah, that would be nice. I want to see if this offensive onslaught continues. That's what I want to see. I want to see just how big of an issue this whole pitcher thing has been with these foreign substances, because it's a night like last night. Again, crazy things happen in baseball, but to get that many runs from that many offenses and you're starting to see, you know, it's cycling through to like the back rotations and stuff like that, it's really starting to make you wonder. And, Major League Baseball, you are never without your controversy. It's always something to talk about. Good times. All right, that'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Dinger, Dan Harris, I'm Joe Pisapia. We'll see you next time, kids.